Incidentally, I should observe that these black or dark blue or even brown figures are often referred to by Western writers as demons, or as devils, or as fiends. And Waddell, that early writer on Tibetan Buddhism, very well informed, though not with very much understanding, is very fond of this sort of nomenclature. He refers, for instance, to the Buddha fiendesses and the Buddha demonesses. And it gives quite the wrong sort of impression. These are not demons or fiends or anything like that. These are the highest level or the Buddha level, but seen under their aspect of destruction of ignorance, the destruction of the darkness of spiritual ignorance. Sometimes they're very, very fierce indeed. Sometimes they've got thick, stark, strong bodies, a dark blue or black or dark brown, and they wear garlands of skulls and elephant hides and tiger skins, and they have long teeth or tusks and two or three or four or five eyes. And they're very, very fierce, very wrathful. They trample upon enemies. And there's a halo, a sort of aureole of flames surging all around them, and they look very, very frightful, and they're meant to look. But they're not demons, they're not devils, they're not anything to do with hell in the Western sense. They are aspects of enlightenment. And they are those aspects of enlightenment which burn up, which destroy, which overcome ignorance in all its manifold forms. The Tibetan Buddhist idea is that ignorance is so strong, ignorance is so powerful, that these beautiful, peaceful figures, they don't stand a chance. So they have to assume these terrible, wrathful forms in order to make some impression, at least, on the forces of ignorance. Otherwise, they just don't take any notice. So there are many legends, there are many stories to this effect, how this or that Buddha or this or that Bodhisattva in meditation just closed his eyes, and out of the forehead emerged a great beam of light, and at the end of that beam of light a terrific, monstrous, terrifying, wrathful figure brandishing a club and shouting, "I want your blood," and things of this sort. Well, this is the only way in which the enlightened mind apparently can operate in this wicked world. And when one confronts the world, when one surveys the world, sometimes one feels every sympathy with this sort of approach, that it isn't the peaceful and the meek and the mild Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who are going to get anything done, but perhaps the more wrathful and the more terrifying ones. But of course, one must remember, one must never forget, it isn't ordinary anger, it isn't ordinary wrath. It's what the tantric tradition calls the great anger and the great wrath. And great, maha, here means purified by shunyata, which has gone through the fires of the absolute and come out at the other end. In other words, it isn't an anger or wrath based upon ignorance or based upon the ego. It's just the opposite of that. It's pure compassion, really. It's pure love, really. But when ignorance and when hatred encounters that love, it can experience it only as wrath or only as anger. And this is the root, this is the basis, if you like, of this sort of symbolism in Tibetan Buddhism, especially in the Tibetan Buddhist Tantra.